I'm Audrey Tracy.
And I'm Griff, and this is Selling on eBay, your weekly source for the information and inspiration you need to start, run, and grow a business on the world's most powerful marketplace. This is episode
11.
So, Audrey, what's on the docket for this week's episode?
Some exciting stuff, Griff. We have some changes to the show starting right now.
Like what?
Well, we're introducing some new segments this week. First, we're expanding the old news segment and renaming it Trending Topics. Every week, we'll scan the eBay community discussion boards, looking for the most popular topics, which we'll then outline here with some helpful call to action recommendations for sellers.
Give us a hint. What are some of this week's trending topics we're going to talk about?
Well, based on the most posts, here there are two biggies. Service metrics and peer benchmarks, that's one, mm-hmm. and managed payments, number two. Mm. We'll give a quick overview on these and what they mean to eBay sellers. We'll also have a few bits of news as well. I hear you have a few new things to announce as well.
Yeah, we have two other new segments. So we're going to have a segment that we're going to call the main story, which each week will feature an in-depth interview with an eBay seller or an industry expert on a specific topic. This week's guest is Lynn Drawley, and she's going to talk about how she handles difficult customers.
Ooh, good topic.
And the other segment's called Inside eBay. And that's going to feature interviews or conversations with one or more eBay team leaders discussing topics of interest to sellers. And they could be about products, about policies, about some features, maybe some commerce news. Maybe there's something in the government that
impacts small businesses.
Absolutely. So those are the things we'll be talking about there.
Lots of new changes indeed.
Yeah.
And don't forget that we're also renaming the What's Trending segment into What's Hot with a new guest each week. The focus will still be on what's hot with buyers based on their searches on eBay.
We're still going to be featuring your calls and questions, whether you call them in or email in your questions or suggestions or comments. Please do. Our number, of course, is 888-723-4630 and our email address is sellingonebay@ebay.com. Well, let's get started, Audrey, shall we?
Okay, sure thing. Coming up next, trending topics. Now, a brand new segment, Trending Topics. Each week, community manager Alan Aisbett will join us with topics he's collected from our community discussion boards. Then we'll explain each topic, outlining the facts behind the topic and what the topic means for you as a seller on eBay. Welcome, Alan. What do you have this week for us in the way of trending topics?
Well, Audrey, as usual, there are tons of discussions happening right now on our discussion boards, and we've compiled some of the most popular and often misunderstood topics.
Like?
Well, for example, like the new service metrics and peer benchmarks, mm-hmm. seller performance metrics that we launched recently. So there's been lots of discussion around this new metric, many questions, of course, but also some confusion about the how, what, and why.
Could you take us through the particulars before we go into what the new metric means for sellers?
Sure thing.
Great. Let's start off with what exactly are service metrics and peer benchmarks?
Well, service metrics provide sellers with data on the percentage of their transactions that result in item not as described returns and item not received requests from buyers. And peer benchmarks are an indicator of how they are doing in these areas compared to other sellers who sell similar items.
That seems pretty simple. Where do I find my metrics?
You can find these metrics in your Seller Hub under the Performance tab. Just click on the link for Seller Level. The new metrics are on that page along with all the other metrics.
How often does eBay calculate these metrics?
Service metrics are evaluated on the 20th of each month.
Just like all the other metrics used in seller performance. And what do we mean by peer benchmarks?
Peer benchmarks are an indicator of how sellers are doing in these areas compared to other sellers who sell similar items.
So if I have an item that I was late shipping or was returned because it was not as described, I would be compared to all other sellers who sell similar items to the one I sold. Is that right?
That's right. You're correct.
Okay. And now the big question, consequences. What happens if I'm not performing as well as my peers?
Well, sellers who have an evaluation rate that is very high, so that means a very high percentage of transactions result in either item not as described returns and item not received request based on peers in the same category. So when that happens, sellers might be subject to increased final value fees or time automatically added to delivery estimates, and buyers would see delivery estimates on the view item page.
Okay, I understand better now. What does all of this mean to me as a seller on eBay?
Well, first thing that's important to point out is that a seller would have to be performing really poorly to risk consequences. But as most eBay sellers strive to keep as perfect a set of performance metrics as possible, the advice we would give to all sellers is to focus on selling high-quality items that do not result in not-as-described returns. If an item is resulting in a high amount of returns, our guidance will be to review the listing, review the photos, and the item quality itself, and consider stop selling that product if it's generating bad buying experiences. So all sellers get returns, we know that, and that's why we show you your performance versus your peers. My advice would be don't spend your time calling customer service to appeal these. Use that time to review your listings, to take better photos, to describe the products better, and overall that should improve your inventory and improve the quality of your listings.
That makes sense. What's the next big trending topic on your list?
Well, there's still a lot of chatter around managed payments right now.
Give us an example.
Okay, so over on our community board, sellers have been sharing their experiences with the newly launched managed payments on eBay. And there are some sellers who are invited to participate in the first iteration of managed payments. Some sellers have expressed concern that PayPal was not a part of the initial release of managed payments. But of course, PayPal will be eventually included in managed payments as an option for buyers, we hope during early or summer 2019. There is also some confusion around how managed payments work.
Okay, so give us a simple overview of how managed payments will work.
Sure thing, Audrey. So with managed payments, which will eventually be the single payment system on eBay, buyers will be able to pay for eBay purchases using one of several electronic payment options, including credit cards and debit cards, Apple Pay, PayPal, and others. So on the final release, every seller will have a payments account with eBay and a payments tab in Seller Hub, into which all payments for sales will go. And the seller will then have the option of transferring those payment funds to a bank account of their choice. And yes, we are working on providing PayPal as a funds destination.
Ooh, great. I know a lot of sellers would love that. So how's the initial release of managed payments working out so far?
Our VP of payments, Alyssa Cutright, blogged about what eBay has learned 1 week in, and this is what she said. We've already learned a lot in these early days, and we are committed to continuing to learn in order to iterate and improve the experience over time. We're taking extra efforts to listen to sellers' feedback, concerns, and ideas.
As a seller not yet in the managed payments program, what does this mean for me?
So a seller not yet in the program does not need to do anything different at the moment, except perhaps keep up to date with all the latest info, and they can get that on ebay.com/payments. And staying informed is the best thing that any seller can do right now. Per Alyssa's blog post, we are planning to expand the experience to more sellers in mid-2019, and then by 2021, we expect to have transitioned the majority of our sellers to the new experience.
Great advice. Anything else on sellers' minds this week?
Yeah, definitely. It's been a busy week here at eBay on the community. So some chatter on our boards about our decision to announce a rollback regarding some restrictions that were put in place a few months ago with the Markdown Manager tool and how that handles sales event. So the restriction that we announced in a previous seller update placed a 14-day waiting period for new items before they could be added to a markdown sale. So now the good news for sellers is that restriction is completely lifted, and I'm going to quote the announcement. So this policy was enacted to reduce the negative experiences customers were experiencing from some sellers abusing the markdown feature. And we know that this is not representative of our seller community as a whole. We heard your feedback and we understand that enforcement was a challenge for sellers providing value to our customers.
I'm sure that's welcome news for sellers. Say, before we go, we need to provide an update on Hurricane Michael.
Yes, indeed. We posted an announcement update on the community, which reaffirms our policy of protecting sellers impacted by natural disasters. According to the announcement, if your business is affected, eBay will automatically protect your seller performance and your late shipment rate will not be impacted under these two conditions. Your zip code has been identified by the major shipping carriers, USPS, UPS, FedEx, and our tracking data shows your shipment was delayed or not delivered due to this weather event. You can read the entire announcement over on eBay's community platform under the announcement tab. And for anyone who doesn't have the URL for community, it is community.ebay.com.
Thanks, Alan.
Thank you.
That's eBay Trending Topics for this week. Next week, we'll have more topics based on your conversations on the eBay community. Coming up next, the main story.
Joining us now is eBay seller Lynn Drawley. Her user ID is Queen of Auctions, and we've talked to Lynn a lot on the old eBay radio show, and I thought she'd be great to talk with us on what is really a controversial, if not sometimes tough topic, difficult customers. Welcome, Lynn.
Thank you, Griff. Very happy to be here.
I thought I'd start right off by asking you how you define a difficult customer. What is and what isn't a difficult customer?
You know, I think a difficult customer is someone who's just unhappy. They're unhappy with what they bought. They're unhappy with the way it was shipped. They're basically just unhappy. And it's our goal as a seller to get them from unhappy to happy. And sometimes there's nothing you can do. That person is just a miserable person. So there are those cases where we can't take them from unhappy to happy, but it's our goal as sellers to do that.
Now, do you have a standard course of action when you're faced with, if not a difficult customer, say a difficult transaction situation?
Yeah, you know, you do. You get a lot of these over the years. I can't believe I've been doing this 20 years. The first thing I do is I try to do it through emails. But, you know, email is really tough because you don't know the tone. That's why texting and emails are so difficult. A lot of times I will request the user ID information and give them a call. Although, did the eBay take that away?
We took away the request for the information, but you can always find a buyer's phone number that they supplied in the order's detail after
a
transaction is finished. So if they've already paid, you can go and find their email address and the phone number they provided to you in the order's detail page in Selling Hub.
Okay, that's good to know because I had a difficult customer a couple weeks ago and I went in to request their user information and it didn't come back. So that's good to know. I often find that picking up the phone and calling them can diffuse all sorts of hostility. And it just the fact that it's a friendly voice that wants to fix it, it makes a world of difference because, you know, the internet has made us all behind these masks where you don't really know who you're talking to and you don't know what their tone is. It's a great place for people to hide, but I think that when you call them and you really want to help, I think it makes a world of difference.
Do you have any recent anecdotes to share about difficult customers you've had, whether that's been on your eBay store or in your new brick and mortar location there in Ventura, California, where you have a consignment shop, which I hear is doing very well?
It is. And oh boy, Griff, do I have some difficult customer stories and consigner stories. And yeah. I got to tell you, my grandma always told me never open a consignment store. And I said, why? And she said, because you'll have your consigners calling you day in and day out asking what is sold and coming in and wanting their stuff back. And I figured in today's day and age, when I can put it all on the computer and they can all look up their own accounts, it would get rid of that problem. But I have had some consigners that have come in and yelled at me in front of other customers, and I've had to pull them outside and try to get to the bottom of what the problem is. And most of the time, it's over their items and where they're placed in the store. And I got to tell you, Griff, it's really challenging to be confronted like that with so much anger when you're trying to help someone make money and selling their items.
Yeah.
But my philosophy is that customer or that consigner, they're always right. And I have to treat them with respect. And I've done a very good job of diffusing all of this. And now these people, I always think of it as one bad Yelp review can ruin my business. And I just bend over backward not to get those bad reviews. I also have had an eBay customer who was very unhappy. And in fact, I've been going back and forth with this person. I thought it was a lady over the last 5 days. She said she had ordered a salad plate. And in fact, she had ordered a bread plate. And then she said, well, the dimensions weren't in the listing. And, you know, stuff like this happens all the time. And I said, no, they were. So I've been going back and forth. And actually, the guy called me today, and his name was Middleton, a charming, charming gentleman from New Orleans. We had a very nice chat, and he wasn't being argumentative at all, and I wasn't being argumentative, and we got along quite well on the phone, and we resolved it. But to me, that was a difficult situation because I insisted that he pay the return shipping. It was his mistake, and we'll see what happens. But the plate is coming back. It was nice to actually have a chat with him.
This was just a misunderstanding about the size of the plate?
Yeah, and I said, you know, if I do have a salad plate in stock, I'd be happy to exchange it for you, but I don't, so he's going to return the one plate. And honestly, Griff, it's a $9 bread plate, and he paid $8 shipping, and then he's going to pay $8 to ship it back, he should just keep the bread plate.
Right, exactly.
Let's be honest. I felt like saying that to him, but he was pretty determined to ship it back, so we'll see if he really does. When our eBay customers actually have to go to the post office and buy a label and ship something, they are freaked out by how expensive it is to ship these days.
Yeah. A lot of them have never shipped anything before, and they don't know what it costs.
No, and they're living back, you know, 10, 20 years ago when you could ship something for $3. You can't ship barely anything anymore for less than $8 or $9. So it's a changed world, and a lot of these people, you know, and we have to keep that in mind. They don't really understand how the shipping rates have changed over the years.
Lynn, are there times when it's okay to say no to a customer?
Yes. We have to be able to say no to a customer. And you know what, Griff, it's so funny. With a transaction, when I know it's going south on eBay, you can just tell, like right from the very beginning, that it's not going to be an easy transaction. And I can tell that in my store, too, with certain consigners that come in. I can tell that they're going to be troublesome. And I've made a decision lately in both my eBay business and in my brick and mortar store that I'm going to make that decision right then not to take on that person as a customer or not to take on that person as a consigner. Because life's too short to deal with these people that demand a lot of attention and our time for relatively low returns. So I do say no to buyers that make lowball offers and then expect me to jump over hoops to get it shipped to them at Priority Mail Express. I will say no, I can't possibly do that. You have to be able to do that. Because at the end of the day, even though I do believe the customer's always right, it's our business and we have to do what makes the most sense for our bottom line.
When you do have to tell a customer no, how do you do it? Can you give us an example? Let's pretend I'm going to be a difficult customer, and we're talking on email now, so we're not on the phone, so our dulcet, friendly tones aren't swaying the argument. You're asking $70 for this, but it's really only worth $10. I'll give you $20.
And I say, well, if you're going to give me 20, I'm going to turn you down, and good luck finding that someplace else. Well, that didn't sound very nice to me. How many times do you get an email from someone that says, I can buy this exact same thing for $15 from another seller? And I'm like, go ahead and buy it from another seller then.
Yeah, I have had a few of those with my fragrances in the last few years. And in one case, it was one fragrance where indeed she was correct. You can buy it cheaper for another seller. So I thanked her for the email and I lowered my price below the other sellers.
So that was a good friendly transaction. Most of the time when people are doing this to me, they're just trying to bully me into taking a lower price. And so I say, well, then go right ahead, buy it from somebody else. I don't have to be bullied into taking those lower prices. And I find that most things will eventually sell close to where I want them to sell. And my philosophy is, as far as pricing is, I price things about double what I want to get. So there's some negotiation and wiggle room in there. So if I have something priced at 100 and someone offers me 50, more than likely I'll take it. That's been a good rule of thumb for me. If it's right around the 50% mark of what I'm asking, it's a go. Anything lower, I'll wait for the right customer. And I tell customers that a long time. A lot of the time I'll say, maybe this isn't the right product or item for you to be buying, and I'll just wait for the right customer for my item.
There is one topic that I wanted to touch upon before we ended our little talk here, which is difficult customers and returns. How do you handle a difficult return, if at all?
My policy right now is 30 days, but buyer pays return. I know eBay is really encouraging us to go to free returns. I'm hesitant to do that, Griff, because I ship so much heavy things, dinnerware and all that. And
sure.
If I have to pay that return, it's going to really cut into the bottom line. I haven't seen that not offering the free returns has hurt my business. So for now, I'm going to stick with that. I have had some issues where this was a big one. I sold a dining room table and four chairs, and it was a pickup only. I had arranged for a shipping company to take it from here in Ventura to her place in, I believe it was Pasadena. And it got there and her mother accepted it. But when she got home, she hated it and she wanted to return it. And she wanted me to refund her the $500 the shipping company had charged plus the cost of the table. And it got really heated where she was texting me like 20 times a day and talk about a difficult customer. And at one point, I'm like, fine, I'll take the table back, but I'm not paying the shipping. And then it got to the point where, fine, I'll just give you all your money, but I want the table back. And we never could come to an agreement. And you know what I did? I called eBay and got eBay involved. And you know what, Griff?
What?
They sided with me.
They
and they totally took my side. They went to bat with her. They said, do not answer any more of her mean tech. Just turn it off, block her. And eBay handled it. And I'm still waiting for her to show up at my store with the table.
Well, you could always sell it twice and make some more money.
I know, but it was a really upsetting exchange for me,
yeah.
And I was so grateful for eBay to step in, and they really took care of it. It was the Anchor Store hotline, and I give them kudos, because they really did do a wonderful thing for me in that one.
Yeah, and in a case like this, it sounds like the reason why she wanted to return it, because she didn't like it. It wasn't a not as described or item arrived damaged. She didn't like the item, so she wanted to return it.
Exactly. And that's why eBay backed me. I have to share one funny little story with you. This is about a woman that worked for me. She was one of my employees. And I was out of town and a customer came in with a dog, and the dog did something that my employee didn't like. And she kind of got into it with the customer. And then my other employee tried to sue things over and said, well, the customer's always right and da-da-da-da. Anyway, it turned into this huge thing. So when I came back from vacation, I was confronted by this employee and she said, do you think the customer was right? I said, absolutely. In my store, the customer's always right. And she actually said to me, I can't work in a place where the customer's always right. And she quit.
Well, good luck.
No, I'm sorry. I mean, where can you go get a job where at least we try, and our philosophy is that the customer's always right?
Oh, I know. The DMV. All right, I'm going to get lots of emails over that one. It was a joke, please. But
okay, no. Okay, but seriously, it was the strangest encounter I've ever had in my life where someone would quit and say, well, I can't work in a place where the customer's always right.
Yeah, it sounds like her nose was bent out of shape a little bit.
That is the only person who's ever quit on me, ever.
Wow.
And in fact, I have this high school kid that works for me, and she's like, Lynn, she's like, I love my job. My boss is awesome. I can walk in from whenever I want from the high school down the street. So it's a pretty fun place to work, but I guess the customer's always right.
Hey, before we let you go, and I do want to thank you for sharing your time and expertise and experience with dealing with difficult customers. I'd like you to plug your store, if you don't mind, because I've seen photos of it on Facebook, and boy, that is a cool consignment shop you got going there.
It is, Griff. I love it. It's located at 1975 East Main Street in Ventura, California. We're in the area known as Midtown, and our prices, things come in, and then every 30 days, those prices get lowered 20%. So on every price tag, you'll see a incoming price, and then you'll see markdowns and dates. And it's made for such a fun shopping environment. It creates a sense of urgency. People look at those tags and they're like, do I wait until October 15th or do I risk it? And no, I better buy it now. So it's really created this great atmosphere where people want to buy things now.
It sounds fantastic. Lynn, I also want to remind our audience that your user ID on eBay is the Queen of Auctions, and you have an amazing array of items and inventory across a wide range of product lines all the time, and you're a total fun to buy from. So check out the Queen of Auctions. Lynn, thank you so much, and continued success with the store in Ventura.
Thank you, and please come and check it out.
I will. We've been talking with Lynn Drawley. Her user ID, as I've repeated many times already, is the Queen of Auctions. And we were talking a very difficult topic called difficult customers, of course.
Up next, we'll chat with Jesse Kiefer, Senior Director of Business Enablement, about how buyers shop the eBay website. Joining us now is Jesse Kiefer, Senior Director of Business Enablement. He's got a unique view of how buyers behave and shop on eBay, and he's here to share some of those insights with us. Hi, Jesse.
Hey, Audrey. Nice to be here.
What's your role at eBay, and how do you know how buyers behave on the site?
I'm responsible for a few things at eBay. First is I'm responsible for our daily deals program, and then I'm also responsible for a range of other promotions, what we call site merchandising, which basically means that I'm responsible for bringing to life a lot of inventory in our buyer experience as our buyers engage with eBay.
How does a shopper behave during holiday versus other parts of the year?
Shoppers are funny cats. We have about 50 million of them a year on eBay. I'd say that there's a lot of different ways to think about buyer behavior. There's some segment of buyers that are always going to be very price conscious. And there's a lot of buyers that are maybe less price conscious at various parts of the year or when they're shopping for certain types of things. During holiday, more buyers act price conscious than they do throughout the rest of the year. So buyers that maybe wouldn't look like a price conscious deals type shopper are going to be looking more for promotional pricing and comparing prices more during holiday. Another way that buyers look different during holiday is they're more likely to shop for big ticket items, TVs and cameras and kitchen appliances. And so it's a mix of what they're shopping for and how price sensitive they are when they're shopping for those things.
Those big ticket items are a little bit of a surprise to me. I would not think that I would want to buy a stove during holiday, but apparently that happens.
Yeah, there's a couple different types of changes that happen. One is gifting, but increasingly the holiday period is becoming a time when people gift for themselves. So we see a lot of people buying, say, big screen TVs for themselves, or maybe buying kitchen appliances for themselves. As more and more retailers have become more promotional, having more sales during the holiday, they've actually shaped buyer behavior where people that want to buy something for themselves might wait until mid-November or early December to make that purchase because they know that that's when they are very likely to get the best deal in the market.
What does eBay do with all this shopper behavior? How do we optimize that?
We're always doing a lot of stuff kind of day in, day out, even if it's not a holiday period, to understand what buyers are doing and to make sure that the search algorithms and the what we call algorithmic merchandising, so the inventory that a buyer would see when they're clicking on, say, a category page, they're going, okay, electronics, cameras, and they're going through the buyer experience and they're seeing different inventory showcased to them. And we're always looking at what buyers are clicking on and engaging with and purchasing to better showcase other items that buyers might want. But during holiday, we're doing more promotions or sales and events is what we sometimes call them, where we're actually selecting listings that you all will have listed against the platform. And we're showcasing those to buyers sometimes around a theme. So for example, it'll be like, get ready for holiday. And maybe we would do that in early November and we'd show some holiday decor. And that might be anything from a vintage 50, 80 year old really cool looking ornament to something that would be brand new that you might want to buy as well. So we're always looking around the entire set of things that our sellers are listing.
What did we experience last holiday on the site? And what do you expect this holiday season?
I think there's been a couple trends that we've been observing over the last few years around holiday that we certainly saw last year. One is that buyers are shopping earlier and earlier for what I was mentioning earlier around gifts for other people or gifts for themselves. We've seen our competitors, and it's something that we did last year, start talking about holiday earlier and earlier. In the past, it might have been in the middle of November that you would have seen retailers out there in the marketplace talking about holiday. Last year, we started doing that in the first week of November. And this year, you might even start seeing messaging out in late October. So that's one trend, is earlier and earlier.
And next year, it'll be in April, right?
And then it'll be in February, we'll start talking about it.
Exactly.
It used to be that first it was Black Friday was a big deal. And then once consumers started to shop online more, it was called Cyber Monday. So customers would come back to work after Thanksgiving, and they'd buy a whole bunch of stuff on that Monday. And retailers started to get hip to that and offer big sales on Cyber Monday. But as buyers have started to shop earlier, what it's also done is it's spread out what we call peak days, those big yep. shopping days of Black Friday and Cyber Monday. And so what we found is that increasingly buyers are shopping before Thanksgiving. They're shopping on their phones, especially as they're traveling on maybe the Wednesday before Thanksgiving mm-hmm. and on Thanksgiving morning.
A lot of mobile traffic at that time.
A lot of people on their phones. Then they're shopping on Black Friday. Maybe they're in line at a retailer and they're realizing they can actually often get a better deal on eBay. And then they're shopping over the weekend. And then rather than just coming to work on Monday and doing all their shopping then, they're spreading their shopping out over that Monday, over that whole week, and even into the week beyond. And so we're seeing, whereas it used to be maybe a few key days, mm-hmm. we're seeing anywhere from mid-November to mid-December be a really strong shopping period where we're getting a lot of new buyers coming to eBay, a lot of new traffic, and our sellers are seeing a lot of increase in sales over a broader period in recent years, and we think this year, than they would have in the past.
What that means to you, seller, is have your deals and promotions in place by mid-November at the very latest, because you want to catch all that traffic that's coming. Don't wait until Cyber Week to get your best deals up.
I would have three things I'd consider if I were a seller trying to make the most out of eBay this holiday season. I might actually start in mid to late October taking a look at my inventory mm-hmm. and making sure that all my pricing was as competitive as I felt like I could make it while still earning a decent margin. And I also might consider setting up some additional promotions to go live in mid to late November through mid-December. So that's first, as I take a very strong look at my pricing. Second of all, starting around mid-December, buyers start to get really sensitive about delivery dates
yes.
and when delivery will reach them. We also see that many of the shipping carriers might struggle to hit the lower end of their time ranges as mid-December approaches and all the buyers are buying a lot of things. And so I'd make sure that I had my handling time and my carrier selection is as robust as I possibly could. And then lastly, if I use a warehouse or if I store my inventory at my home, I'd want to make sure that I was ready to do my shipping and fulfillment as quickly as possible.
And that means that you might want to hire some part-time help to pick and pack, or you might want to rejigger your fulfillment and shipping station so that it is ultra efficient.
Our objective when we try to plan a really great holiday season is to bring as many buyers as possible to eBay, and especially as many buyers as possible throughout November and December. And so our objective is to make you, our sellers, as busy as possible during those key holiday weeks.
What type of deals and inventory lead to the highest conversion? That's kind of the million-dollar question for sellers.
There are close to or around 1 billion listings on eBay globally, and that in any given day, any number of them might sell at any given time. But there are some characteristics of what will increase the most in sales during the holiday period. The first is what you might call branded inventory, things like Apple and Samsung and KitchenAid and DeWalt and Milwaukee. And additionally, that inventory needs to be very price competitive. And so one key area of purchases that buyers are looking to make is either for themselves or as a gift on kind of items that have a clear price that they're doing price comparison on. The second type of items that do really well during the holiday period are things that have a low price. So those may or may not have a brand name associated with them. Things like a white undershirt or socks or generic watch, maybe a pair of sunglasses. Things that are inexpensive to buy. And those are things that people maybe are buying as stocking stuffers or as gifts for friends that aren't their best friends. But we do see a lot of low-priced items selling more during the holiday period. And then the last type of inventory are things that would be traditionally associated with the holidays. Things mm-hmm. like toys have a lot of sales during holiday, a lot more than at any other time of year. Decor and entertaining, and not just around holiday themed decor, but things like paper plates and things like serving dishes and glassware and things like that. It's either branded inventory that is at a great price, or it's low price point inventory, or it's things that are associated with gift giving and toys.
Okay, Jesse, before we wrap up, do you buy or sell on eBay?
Well, I've worked at eBay for about 7 years, and I've bought hundreds and hundreds of items, and I do some selling as well. My wife probably doesn't want to hear this, but I'm really into surfing. We live near the ocean here in San Jose, and I've bought a couple surfboards on eBay recently.
Uh-oh.
But I don't want to talk too much about that because I don't want to get into trouble.
Well, your secret is safe with us. Thank you, Jesse, for being here. We really appreciate your time and insights.
It's my pleasure.
We've been speaking with Jesse Kiefer, Senior Director of Business Enablement, about buyer behavior.
Coming up next, we talk with Bob Means. He's eBay's category lead for toys and crafts, and we're going to talk about hot toys for the holiday. Don't go away. Joining us now is Bob Means, category lead for toys and crafts here at eBay. And also joining us is Liz Austin, our What's Hot correspondent. Yes, Liz, we changed the name of the segment.
What? When did that happen?
About 3 seconds ago.
Thanks for letting me know.
Well, it's well planned anyway.
Right. Okay. Moving on.
Let's talk about the big trends in the toy category and what we think is going to be hot for the holiday. Welcome to you both.
Thanks for having me.
Hi, Griff. Happy to be back on What's Hot.
What's Hot, yes.
What's Hot. Okay.
You're picking it right up. Thanks, Liz.
I'm working with Bob. So nice to have you.
Yeah, thank you.
What are the big toy trends that we're seeing right now?
One of the biggest ones is what we call unboxing or surprise. You're buying the toy and you don't know what you're necessarily buying. You're buying a title like a Hatchimal or you're buying Treasure X. You don't necessarily know what's actually in the box. And the thrill of the toy is actually opening and finding out what you have.
So is it kids or is it adults or what's driving this trend and fascination with unboxing?
It's mainly kids. There's a whole phenomenon out there with YouTube of unboxing to see what's in a box. And you know, some of the brands out there that have been really strong with this, like LOL Dolls, they've done a great job of getting the item out there, having people just chase after series one, series two, version one, version two. They've also done a great job of adding supplemental apps and websites that kids can track. What I remember is, as a kid, was having a baseball card, and there was always this one card that would come out that would be the team. And on the back of the team, there'd be every player's name with a checklist. So we're seeing that kind of phenomenon where there's almost a to-do list for these kids to try to complete their collection, which I'm sure parents are thrilled about. But that's sort of the incentive, is to have the complete collection. Collecting in general is probably the second hot trend. So this unboxing and this collecting thing has kind of created this nice overlap for some of these brands.
So what cultural moments are driving these type of toy trends, like with the unboxing?
On cultural moments specifically, we are literally living in a golden age of superhero movies. Marvel, DC, Venom was released a week ago. It's bursting as a keyword search for us.
Wow.
So we will see the reaction of a movie come out like that and then see people come to the site and look for the toys that are connected to it. And almost every single one of these movies has a toy line. Even Deadpool, which was rated R, still had toys connected to it. And you always see a surge in interest. So for instance, the next big movie that's coming out is going to be Aquaman. We'll have Aquaman toys. Everyone will have Aquaman toys. Sometimes when the movies don't do well, the toys still do well. Like, there's not a correlation between successful movie and successful toy. There is a correlation between interest, and we see it every single time one of these movies comes out.
So what are the big movies that are coming out?
Venom just did, and Venom. It was big, and we saw that bursting keyword.
Is Spider-Man coming
there's
out?
There's a Spider-Man cartoon coming out.
Uh-huh.
It's called Into the Spider-Verse. There's 6 or 7 new toys that are connected to that one. The other thing that you'll see when Aquaman comes out, or when the Justice League movie came out, that drives that nostalgia.
Right.
Justice League comes out and suddenly we're selling the Super Friends cartoon that was from the 70s.
Right.
And suddenly people are going back and buying the DVD for Christopher Reeve's Superman 1. And people are going back and buying the action figures from 10 years ago and that sort of thing. You see that happen as well. It's not just people looking for the latest and greatest. This really triggers shopping for the things that you remember. There's really kind of a lot of different categories that lift with these cultural moments. And of course, toys is one of them.
But if we're thinking about nostalgia, are the buyers buying for themselves or are they buying for their kids, but they're buying the items that they used to have in their childhood because it brings about nostalgia? Or do we have two different kind of sets of buyers here?
We'll see people who buy because it's bringing back memories that they had from when they were kids. We'll see people buy it to give them to their kids so their kids can have an experience similar to what they had.
Wow.
I think we all look back to the toys that we played with and we all think they were amazing. And they were. They were imaginative. They forced you to figure out how to interact with them in the world. The 80s are very hot right now. You see it in places other than toys. You know, you'll see like wardrobes and fashion coming out. But
oh, no, don't tell me skinny ties and big hair are coming back.
Yeah, it's all coming back.
What are some hot toys that we should know about or that we think are going to be hot for the holidays that sellers should keep top of mind?
I'm going to answer this two ways because there's two kinds of hot. There's some brands out there that are always going to be good. Legos is just always going to be good. And in fact, I think Lego is a brand that's going to struggle to keep up with the demand that's out there for it, just because that's going to be one of the brands that's heavily impacted by Toys R Us going away. I think Barbie. Barbie the dolls sell fine still. It's the accoutrement. It's the Barbie dream house, or it's the Barbie care clinic, or it's the Barbie car. It's the accessory piece to Barbie that there's always a new one every year, and those always do well. Then there's the surprising hot thing. And 2 years ago, it was a toy called Hatchimals.
We love Hatchimals.
Yeah, Hatchimals was unbelievable. Last year, it was a thing called Fingerlings, which was the same idea. It was this interactivity, a little bit of electronics to it. And again, that took off. We're not sure what the hot toy is yet.
Oh. Or are you just keeping it sacred?
Yeah, I'm buying every single piece I can find.
You'd have to kill us if you told us.
That's right. Well, no, so I've got a great story. There's one that seems to be coming up already. And again, the hotness that we're talking about tends to have a connection to scarcity or demand outstripping supply, right?
Yeah.
So there's a toy out there. It's by MGA Entertainment. They're the ones who make LOL dolls as well. So these guys know what they're doing, but it's called Poopsies.
What?
Yeah, this is what I deal with every day. This is when the job is fun. When I suddenly start seeing something called Poopsies trending in our eBay search numbers, you know, and here goes the next hour of my life trying to figure out what Poopsies are, right? This is kind of the process that I have to go through. Poopsies are the blend of two things that kids love. One is slime. So you said you had daughters. They've probably made the homemade slime at some point.
Yes.
So the slime is a great seller. And the other part is unicorns. And so it's unicorn poop.
Well, of course it is. What else could it be?
It's glittery, sparkly.
It's glittery, slime, literally.
But it comes from the unicorn. So it also hits that unpacking thing because you buy it as a blind box. You don't know what unicorn or what kind of poop you're going to get. But right now, Amazon is sold out.
Wow.
Walmart's out of stock. We've got it on eBay right now.
What happens if you feed a unicorn too many tacos?
I think you find out.
My goodness. Let's bring this back on track. So we talked about sellers and what they can be looking out for.
I think LOL dolls will continue to be strong. There's a toy out there called Treasure X, which is a boy's version of LOL dolls. Now, instead of looking for a cute little doll, you dig through some sand and you find a pirate.
Does he look like Johnny Depp?
No. Well, maybe a little bit. But one of the things that I think is really cool is STEM is becoming important.
Yes.
What?
STEM, it's educational toys. It stands for science, technology, education, and mathematics.
Yes.
They're making toys now that are super fun, but can also teach you about coding. They're super fun, but they can teach you about how electricity flows through circuitries. They've added that whole fun element. They've also got the big guys involved. So this STEM educational coding kind of robot toy is going to be really cool. And there's a lot of them out there though. So one of them is going to be the chosen one. But
so where would sellers source these toys from? Now that Toys R Us is no longer, where do they go?
Yeah, and losing Toys R Us is a monstrous event. And I think we should talk about that in a second. But there's nothing stopping anybody from actually contacting any of these brands directly. MGA, Spin Master, Hasbro, Mattel. You get into some of the secondary brands like Playmates and Playmobil, and I can go on and on and on, but I don't see any reason why, if you've proven yourself as a seller on eBay, you wouldn't be able to go to them and say, hey, I'm trying to drive this business and I want to talk to you about these particular titles that you have. Lego, I do know, is a little bit more challenging. Like they want to only deal with very large players out there, so I'm not really sure where you would source Legos. And that's maybe one of the reasons why we have such a hard time keeping Legos on the site. Lego is also releasing a Hogwarts castle that I think is 3,000 pieces. It's big. Whatever it is, it's super big. And that's sort of in line with the 20th anniversary of that, I believe.
Yeah, wow.
The other thing that's really cool about Lego recently, and this is something eBay can help you with from a sourcing perspective, is the other thing that's selling well are these little minifigs. So when you buy a Lego set, there's a little character that comes with it. What Lego has figured out is those characters, kind of like the LOL dolls, are incredibly collectible, sometimes more collectible than the actual set itself. So what you'll find on eBay sometime is people will sell a Lego kit minus the minifig. The miniature is the sort of the most valuable component of the set. Anyhow, we do sell on eBay case packs of these minifigs, which can then be flipped around and sold individually for $3 or $3.50. So it's something for people to look out to.
Excuse me for a moment. I have to go on eBay.
Absolutely. Because I even found...
Bought one.
I was at a gas station, and they had the minifigs. And just out of curiosity, I asked where they got those. And the guy said, I buy the box off of eBay, and I sell it to my customers as they come in through the store to buy their gas. I'm like, good for you. So we were also talking about Toys R Us, right?
Absolutely.
Toys R Us was an institution, and they did well over $1 billion in the fourth quarter before they shut their doors. That number, a billion plus, that demand is still out there.
So what you're saying here is that that opportunity is out there for the taking.
Absolutely. All of that demand needs to be fulfilled someplace. And so eBay is going to work really hard this year chasing that toy business. That's one of the things I really want our sellers to understand. It's the fourth quarter. It's mission critical that we deliver the best shopping outcome we can to our customers. And that also sometimes means price, and it means shipping, and it means all those things.
To your point, Bob, that seeing what the buyers are looking for and what they're searching for is really important to know what to list and what you're going to make money on.
Buyers are going to tell us, and you can find out before anyone by going to explorer.ebay.com.
That's right.
I want to thank you both. It's been a great interview. I've learned a lot. And Liz, it's always a pleasure.
Yeah, thanks for coming in, Bob.
Yeah,
really enjoyed that.
We've been speaking with Bob Means. He's the eBay category lead for toys and crafts. And we've been talking about hot toy trends for the holiday. Up next, your calls, your questions here on Selling on eBay. Don't go away. Okay, it's time for your calls and questions. We have a call. Would you please state your name and your question?
Yeah, hi. My name is Grady Batista, and my question is about getting advice on how to list more efficiently. I feel like I'm a little bit slow. It takes me about 10 to 15 minutes to list a new item from scratch, and, you know, it's a little shorter if I'm selling similar items, but what are some ways that I can get more things listed in a day?
What exactly do you sell?
I have one eBay store that's a clothing and accessories store, and then I have another one that sells mostly like vintage and antiques and collectibles.
So they are one-of-a-kind items mostly?
Mostly. Sometimes I have, you know, multiples that are very similar, but yeah, generally I'm having to start from scratch with each item.
Well, I have some not great news, but I might have some good news. So what do you want to hear first? The not great or the better news?
Let's hear the bad news first.
So the bad news is that data entry is always going to be an issue for one-of-a-kind items, especially those items that aren't cataloged. That is, that there's no data entry into a catalog for that item as tied
right.
to a specific product identifier, right? So I do the same thing. I sell mostly pre-owned clothing and a lot of fragrances, some of which do have codes, so that makes it easier. But so the way that a lot of us have done this to make it a little easier is we learn to batch tasks. And I don't know if you're doing that already.
I maybe. Could you tell me more what that means?
My goal, say, for the weekend is to list 20 items. I'm going to put 20 items up on eBay. I'm going to group all of the rote tasks that you have to do into batches so that I'm going to take all of the photographs at once. And if it's clothing, I'm going to have the tags that were on the item of clothing when I purchased it, like at a thrift store, for example. And on there, I'm going to write the measurements so that when I take photos of all of these shirts and I've arranged it so the rack with the shirts, let's say men's shirts, is right next to the photo area. I can pick one up, put it on, cameras on a tripod, take the pictures, and then take a picture of the label from the thrift store. So that information is photographed, and I'm going to use that later.
Yeah, no, I use a similar system. I photograph the measurements and, you know, some data
great.
About
yeah.
the item
yeah.
so that then when I'm have in the uploading pictures, I have it available.
So that's the task of getting that information and the photos. But then when it comes to listing, you can make this a little easier when it comes to data entry by eliminating as much data entry as possible by utilizing templates.
Ah, okay. I have not done that.
Yeah. There's an old tool on eBay called Inventory where you can set up templates that are based around a category or type of items so that you can reuse them over and over. They work best for multiple quantity items. Like if I sold t-shirts and I had different colors, but it was the same brand and different sizes, that tool would work really well for me. For one-of-a-kind items, they can still work well. You may have to play with it a little bit, but this way you can have a shirt template, for example, if you're selling shirts, that has all the information that's pertinent to a shirt description that you'll need already in there. And the only thing you're going to have to add is the title and the measurements. So that's one,
right.
that's one way of doing it. The other way, and I have to confess, this is the way I use more often than not, is because I sell a lot of men's shirts and list a lot of men's shirts, I just sell similar. And now I'm repeating brand names. If I have a Croft and Barrow man's shirt, and it's listed, and I have another one I want to sell, I'm going to go to that listing and click sell similar, and then just...
Yeah, that's generally what I've been doing.
Yeah. I wish I had better...
I have an item that's similar.
So the only other way to do it is to hire someone.
Well, I think the templates are a good idea, and, you know, that's something I could definitely put a little time into setting that up and maybe save a few minutes that way.
Can't really break anything by playing with them. I think if you go to the help and contact page, you'll see that there's you type in inventory, there should be a link that explains how the tool works. Again, it's a very old eBay tool. It's been around for almost, I think, 18 years. It's an old tool. I know a lot of sellers still use it. It's also part of your store management, I think. If you go to Manage My Store, there should be a link to inventory so that it explains more.
Okay.
Well, I hope I was able to help, Grady.
It's good to know that I'm doing some things right, and it's good to know that, you know, there's another tool I can try. So I'll definitely give that a shot.
If it's any consolation, it's you, me, and millions of other sellers who sell this type of inventory, and we're all miserable together.
Sure, sure, yeah. No, it's just a matter of getting the work done, right?
That's it. It's a little bit of work, or a lot. Well, thank you so much for your call, and I hope you'll call again, Grady.
I will. I'll definitely call the next time I have a question. Thanks, Chris.
Okay, happy selling.
Before we sign off, we want to remind you about eBay in-person events. There are seller meetups happening soon in Phoenix, San Jose, and Raleigh, North Carolina, as well as a big event called Ecom Chicago coming up on October 18th. eBay will be there. You can learn about these events and discover if there was one near you happening at ebay.com/meetup.
And don't forget our weekly eBay for Business Live video on Facebook every Wednesday at 12:30 p.m. Pacific Time. You can join us and watch the live video.
Thanks for plugging that.
My pleasure. And that's our show for this week.
I love the new segments. How about you, Griff?
Oh, yes, I do, Audrey. But more important, what do you think of them? Give us a call and let us know. Listener, 888-723-4630. You can call that hotline any time of the day, any day of the week. 888-723-4630.
Or if you're a shy person, you can send your questions or comments to us at sellingonebay@ebay.com. That's sellingonebay@ebay.com.
Hey, you know what time it is now?
Time to roll the credits.
Indeed. Our community manager, Alan Aisbitt, is now one of our official correspondents.
Love it. Community manager and technology and news editor, Doug Smith.
Our social marketer and one of our correspondents, Liz Austin.
Editor-in-chief and host, that's you, Griff.
And script writer and co-host and general herder of cats, you, Audrey Tracy.
That's me. We'll be back next week with a fresh new episode of Selling on eBay.
Selling on eBay is produced and distributed by Libsyn and Podcast 411.